Happy birthday, UCC. Did you know it was your birthday? Pentecost is the birthday of the church, and today is Pentecost Sunday. Now, it's the kind of birthday like you have if you're a member of AA. You have a birthday on the day you got sober. It's kind of like the birthday you celebrate of your baptism, or the beginning or the end of some important part of your life. It's that kind of birthday celebration. So during the sermon, we're going to be singing the contemporary word. It's a little tune, Water, River, Spirit, Grace. After each section of the sermon, it's kind of like singing Happy Birthday to the Church. Or you could consider it a sort of prayer to the church or to the Spirit of God. So Rainer Rilke was a German poet whose work contains many words and many God references. And often when he wrote about God, he was not referring to a deity in a heaven somewhere in a traditional sense. Rather, he was using the term in metaphorical ways. God is the forest in which we wander. God is the cathedral we are building. God is not a thing for him, it's an action. It's a creative process with an emerging reality of which we're capable of having conscious awareness. Now, of course, Rilke wasn't the first to describe God in a metaphorical way. Many of the biblical passages used metaphor and simile to talk about God. And I know that many who are here today best understand God not as a deity in a separate place, but as creative action. So the season of Pentecost, as I told the children, starts today and celebrates God as water, river, spirit, and grace. It's just the season for those like us. And as we explore these images, I encourage you to remember this is metaphorical language. I'm speaking of creative process that we have named God. So first we'll talk about God as water. Water not only sustains our bodies and communities, it's obviously an integral part of our spiritual lives. The Bible is rich with images of water that symbolize new life, cleansing, and the fulfillment of God's promises. Water is mentioned 722 times in the Bible. That's less than God or Jesus, heaven or love, but it's many more times than faith, hope, prayer, or even worship. So think of that rich spiritual truth shown in the movie A River Runs Through It. I know I'm showing my age that I like a movie this old, but that movie has incredible cinematography, and it uses the river in it as a spiritual presence. So the Spirit of God is rich and present in water. Psalm 42:11 tells us, as a deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. You know, water covers about 70% of the earth's surface, and it is at once earth's most abundant natural resource and a basic necessity for life. That was particularly felt by the people of the Near East, especially in ancient times, where water was in scarce supply. In fact, those of us who traveled to Israel a couple of years ago, I don't know about you, but Eric has always joked about the Jordan River where we stopped because it was quite small. In our minds, we thought maybe the Jordan would be much bigger and wider, but it was much narrower and dirty. And here in life, in the Bible, we think, especially in the West, about the River Jordan being this lush oasis type of place, and it wasn't at all. Well, the people in the Near East had scarce water supplies, And they lived accordingly along rivers, banks, and other bodies of water, or they dug deep wells to supply available water for drinking and for bathing, as well as for irrigation purposes to ensure the fertility of the land. And this need and use for water is so prevalent in their lives. It's also very much in the literature of the ancients that water serves as an archetype for God. God's associated with water because both are essential to health and well-being. And just as water was a vital commodity for the existence and well-being of life, it became the essential element of religious thinking and rituals in the Near East culture. Water became equated with such things as vitality, prosperity, abundance, refreshment, and the good life in general. So of course it makes sense. Water and God fit together. So let's sing Water, River, Spirit, Grace in celebration of this rich history of God as water. To spirit. As you know, there are two accounts of Pentecost in the New Testament. One is a large and loud celebration like the one we're having here today. You all are so on fire here. The other one is a small and quiet observation, something we're not familiar with. Both speak of the Spirit of God coming to the people, and these stories connect back to the Hebrew Bible's second creation story, when humans were created. And it says in Genesis 2, God breathed into their nostrils, and they became living souls. Now think about that for a moment. The sun, the moon, and the stars came into being. The land formed and separated the water. Plants grew and animals came forth. Days and nights passed. Human forms came into being. And holy breath filled our nostrils. How wise the writer of this creation story was. You can almost picture it. God takes this creature made out of clay and held it up as a mother holds a baby and breathed into it. And it became a living soul like God. You can almost hear God say, this one is like me. Now, I'm proud of the squirrel. I love the elephants. The centipede, it's pretty cool. Those whales, oh, they are amazing. And I do like peacocks. But this one, the one like me, is the one. I have breathed into him. I have breathed into her my own life breath. And this is why humans ever since are not just content working and eating and drinking and talking and dying. Human beings long for God. We search the heavens, we write poetry, we play music, we spread art all around the world, we notice flowers, we hold hands, we think the things of God. We human beings even spend time wondering if, after we die, we might live again because we have the breath of God in us. Whether or not we realize that we have the breath of God within, we actually know instinctively that we don't want to lose it. The psalmist, so many years ago, wrote about this human fear in Psalm 104. It's our second traditional text for today, and it tells about how fearful we are of losing that connection, that breath of God. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. In both the Hebrew Bible and the Christian Testament, the wind is the symbol of God's vitality and God's intimacy with us. It came to be identified as vitality and also action in people. Of course, when the breath is removed from a person over time, we become inert and eventually dead. The writers of the Bible came to call this breath of God the soul or the spirit within us. The task of the Spirit of God is always to give life. And what is of great interest to me, at least, is that the task of the Spirit is always, always to give life. If you follow that logic, the spiritual person then isn't the most pious person. The spiritual person isn't the most religious person. The spiritual person is the most vital, alive, whole, and real person. Do you see the difference? I hate to tell you, it's not coming to church on Sunday. It's not taking a walk in nature. It's not being the best and following the commandments. It's being vital. It's being alive with God's Spirit inside you. It's giving breath and life to the rest of creation. And so let us sing our song again, celebrating the Spirit, the breath of God within us. This brings us to our third part of the Spirit of God, which is grace. Grace, says Anne Lamott, is the force that infuses our lives and keeps letting us off the hook. It is unearned love, the love that goes before and greets us on the way. Grace is the light or the electricity or the juice or the breeze that takes you from that isolated place and puts you with others who are as startled and embarrassed and eventually grateful as you are to be there. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having sufficiency in all things, may abound to do good work. I cannot describe the Spirit of God's grace. I did 1,000 Google searches this week, and I wasn't at all satisfied with what I found about God's grace. I don't always pay attention when it happens, but there are a few moments when I catch a glimpse of it out of the corner of my eye. And so I decided, Google searches aside, I was just going to tell you how I see grace at work. When an older couple holds hands in the ICU waiting room for the doctor to tell them the results of a test. When a baby cuddles and blows bubbles as she makes new sounds. When a single flower grows and bursts into bloom in the midst of a tangled mess of green and brown. When a loved one drives across snow and ice just to be with family. When a sick person looks you in the eye with gratitude and smiles. When a father gets up in the night to calm a frightened child with a soft voice and reassuring hands. When we are at our worst, depressed, lazy, judgmental, or just plain mean. And then we find forgiveness. The Spirit of God is always gracious. It's the oil that anoints and lubes our lives from our grumpy hardness into warm kindness. With the grace of God in us, we become a healing balm for the world. And so I pray, God, give us your grace. Grace is the third part of the Spirit of God, and I invite you to sing Water River Spirit Grace again. Amen. As you're able, please stand, and if you're not sick of it, like Happy Birthday, we're going to sing it for our choral benediction. Those of you who are on Facebook may know that I had a migraine on Wednesday night into Thursday and was awake at 3 in the morning writing the sermon. So this is what you get when you have a migraine. I had been struggling with coming up with a way to describe the breath of God on the birthday of the church and how it impacts us in our lives. And this song kept coming to me, and I realized that it is through metaphor and simile and melody that we know God best. And so I hope you feel like we have celebrated the Spirit of God coming into the church, into our lives, so that we might go from this place and reach out and share melody and water and hope and spirit with others. Amen.